Welcome to the Fourth Trimester Training Podcast. I'm Lindsay Newman, and I'm here to revolutionize the way we approach postpartum care. We're challenging the status quo and redefining what it means to thrive after childbirth. Join me as we dive into functional health, optimal nutrition, lifestyle, and corrective exercise, specifically for moms to feel their most athletic no matter their age. Whether you're weeks postpartum or years down the line, this is your go-to resource for reclaiming your strength, energy, and confidence. I'm so excited to have you here today because I have a special guest with me, Stephanie Burke. She has been a client at Fourth Trimester Training, and she's been so gracious and willing to come and share her story with us. And I think it's a really important one to share because each of us have, you know, traveled our own personal road of health and needed to make some big changes, but it's really challenging when we don't have the tools necessary to do it. So I'm excited for Stephanie to share her story. Steph, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Can you kick us off by just telling us about some of the things that you were struggling with before working with Fourth Trimester Training? Will you paint us a little bit of a picture there?
Yes. So I originally found you specifically for, I had UTI symptoms, but no UTI. And I finally had a doctor say, let's stop trying the antibiotics. You might have a pelvic floor issue after having a baby, and that can mimic those symptoms, which I did not know. And that led me to you. And I thought that's all we were going to work on. But as we talked about my health history and how much I have struggled with my gut for when we started working together, it was like 27 years. And you're like, oh, I can help you with that. And I was like, what? So that was a huge relief to think that, okay, I'm going to fix maybe more than just some minor symptoms that I'm having comparable. So yeah. I had struggled with IBS-D for a really long time and frustrated with the medical system because I went from doctors that said it was in my head to just doctors that would throw out prescription after prescription trying to just mask the problem, and no one ever wanted to look at the root issue. And because there was so much gut health, there were other things going on. I couldn't lose weight, and it was starting to affect, well, it had been affecting me mentally because I'm like, is this in my head? Like, why can't I get better? And so it was kind of a low spot, but something I had just kind of pushed to the back burner because it'd been so long without relief.
Yeah. Yeah, that is such a loaded answer, right? You came to us for one thing and ended up working on multiple things, wasn't it? It was your chiropractor who sent you our way in the beginning, wasn't it?
Yes, because he knows my distrust of the medical system. And he's like, I've got a gal, she's been through it herself. So she knows exactly what you're feeling, what you're going through. And I was like, okay, give me her number. And that was you.
Yeah, and he's a great holistic chiropractor as well. Tell me, let's break that into two. So let's talk about pelvic floor and those UTI symptoms just a little bit and how we kind of went about working on that and what you noticed shift and change for you.
So the exercises you guys do, it's all like very internal. And I'll be honest, in the beginning, when you watch the video or you tell me what I'm doing, I'm like, this is so simple, like how is this going to fix anything? But those symptoms were gone within a couple weeks. It was definitely a pelvic floor issue. And I could feel myself getting stronger from the inside out. And it was not expected. I'm thinking crunches and Kegels and, you know, all the things that you hear about. And you guys had different mechanisms for doing that. And there was more to it than just one little spot. It's your back, it's your core. And it was cool.
Yeah, it's so funny. I get so frustrated hearing people working on their pelvic floors when your pelvic floor is the recipient of so much and the cause of so little. And so I'm sure you came in thinking like, okay, you want me to lay on this yoga block so my ribs will move and you want me to do these core exercises. And Yeah. And it surprises a lot of people that once we recreate some mobility and stability in the right places, that happens.
Yes. Yeah. I think the biggest aha for me, now that I've like had some time to look back, it was opening up that rib cage and moving. You know, in the beginning you do that, I think, a breath test or breathing test. And I was like, I think I'm breathing fine. But as we went through the exercises, and you're like, this is how you should be breathing. And I started to be able to breathe that way and just open up. There was a lot of mobility that was not happening in the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is always such an interesting thing. I've had people ask me before, well, why don't you just share on social media, like how to breathe correctly? And I try, I really try. And also every body is a little bit different. So you see a lot of people on social media talking about breathing the right way and 360 breathing and trying to show people how to do it. But if your ribs are so tight and sticky and they're not moving well, then try as they may, like it's not going to happen, right? Yeah. So we have to use strategy to get the ribs moving first, to get the core coming in first, and then they can practice what that feels like to get the full rib cage open.
Yes. And I think on social media, you lose that personal connection. I sent you so many videos. I'm like, I don't know if I'm doing this right. And you were able to tweak it. And there's a huge difference there. And you can't do that with social media.
Yeah. It's definitely what I needed for my body when I was in a lot of pain. So tell me then, okay, so we worked on pelvic floor, we worked on posture correction, mobility, stability, all of those things that we work on with everybody who comes in, because something that a lot of people don't know is that regardless of how long it's been since anyone has had a baby, and you were a little bit more newly in the trenches postpartum, right? But we have women come in who haven't had kids for 10, 15, sometimes even 20 years. And all of the same rules still apply because they never had the training after they did have kids and their body created all those compensations. So we work on that with everybody, but not with all of our clients do we dive deeply into functional health. That's for a very specific client, specific track that we offer. And that's where we did a lot of work on your gut. Yes. So tell us a little bit. You said 27 years, and Stephanie, for whatever reason in my head, I thought it was 20. You add those 7 years on, it makes me feel a little more sick about it because that's a really long time to suffer.
It was. I did the math last night because I'm like, okay, like I just, it feels like 20 years, but it was 27 by the time we started working together.
Can you tell me a little bit about how you came around that diagnosis 27 years ago of IBS? What you tried, what doctors you saw. Give us a little bit of the story behind all of that.
So I had mono and I don't know what happened. I was a teen when it happened, so I just kind of let my mom take care of the doctors. But after I got healthy, I had constant diarrhea. So we started going to gastroenterologist,
yep.
The gut doctors. And we did colonoscopies, endoscopies. I had so many of those. It was ridiculous. Everything always looked healthy. And so they would just be like, well, we don't really know what's going on. The first doctor I saw, his last ditch effort was, he's like, try Imodium AD. It was over the counter. And I found a dosage that worked for me. He's like, that's just how you're going to live your life. And I was 19 probably at the time.
Wow. 19.
Yeah. And from there I saw naturopaths and I even went to a specific IBS clinic and we did some supplements and stuff, but nothing ever had, there was never any real great improvement without a lot of restriction to diet and probiotics were never mentioned. I didn't take any of those. And since then, like the most recent doctor I saw that was also a specialist, she had a prescription. I think it was a heart medication that she prescribed to all of her patients that have the same IBS as I do, that this, you take it for the side effect. It's constipation. And it's such a huge side effect that she's like, that's what I put all of my patients on. I was like, I do not want to take another medication. I'm already taking Imodium and that's working, but I was hoping to get off of it. So I just didn't go that route. I was like, this is just my life.
Mm, yeah.
Even after all those years.
And you were taking well over the prescribed, well, on the box dose of Imodium. Yes. Is that right?
Yes. 3 to 4 on a regular database, day-to-day basis, just to leave the house. If anything stressful happened, I would take more as needed.
Yeah. So just to leave the house, I think, Stephanie, I think this is, obviously we're getting a little personal here. Mm-hmm. And so please bear with me. It's so good of you to talk about this. We all get a little uncomfortable talking about our own health sometimes, but I think it's so important that we do. And the longer that I've been in this space, the more I've realized that in order to help people, I have to be really honest with my own story. So I don't ask transparency from you without sharing it in return. However, I think it's important because you say it was really hard to leave the house. And you're a mom. You're a busy mom. So tell me what you mean by that and how that was impacting you day to day.
I never knew if I could get from point A to point B without having an accident. I had routes planned where I knew there was a bathroom every few lights or whatever. It would honestly take me longer to get to someplace because I would go out of the way just in case something happened. And I had my kids in the back, which made, when they were younger, made it very difficult because you don't want to leave them in the car. So I had to find workarounds. And there were some days that, you know, I just had to cancel. I'd get 5 minutes out the door and I'm like, this isn't going to work. And I'd turn around and come back home. I spent my life wondering where the next bathroom was. Eating out was not an option. And I would plan everything around the morning. I would not eat until everything was done and go, you know, come home and have my first meal at 2 or 3 in the afternoon, which also hurt my gut because you're taking, you know, I'm starving. So I ate a huge amount of food. It was a horrible habit to get into, but that's what worked so that I could still be mom.
Yeah. And, you know, and live your
grocery
life.
Grocery shop. And yeah.
My gosh. My gosh, that has huge, huge impact on a person's mental health, no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
And the constant worry of stress, you know, my issues are different from yours, but having POTS, a nervous system disorder, makes me afraid of stress. Like I know what happens when I get stressed out in my body or like pushed way too far over my limits. And it sounds like you were very similar.
Yeah.
That stress was just not the thing that was going to help you.
Mm-mm. No, it would definitely make it worse. And I think I just kind of lived my life at a higher level of stress. That was my norm, which, you know, after working with you guys and realizing what stress does to the body and how it affects everything, you know, that was a long time to live that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll talk about that for sure. I want to ask about nutrition, because this will never cease to blow my mind. That when we have gut issues and somebody goes to the doctor to try and resolve gut issues, were you ever sent to a nutritionist or anyone that was going to help you with what you were putting into your gut?
No.
No. Yeah.
No. I had one doctor talk to me about the FODMAP diet.
Okay.
But they hand you a little piece of, you know, an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. Here's the foods you shouldn't eat. Never why, what's going on, how long do I do this, what should I notice. It was just kind of a here, try this, see if it helps.
And then live that way forever.
And then, yeah, like, was there any ends to this? Does it heal? Like, there was just not, I don't know, it was like a prescription.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah. When really the goal, when we're trying to help somebody heal their gut, is not more restriction long term. It's more flexibility, more capacity long term. Yeah. And that's what hopefully we've helped you with. We'll get to that. But it is crazy to me that what we put inside our mouth and our gut is not even hardly being addressed through modern healthcare system for people who are having gut issues, hormone issues. Any of the issues, like let's look at our lifestyle. What are we eating? How are we able to move? And when you first came to me, I remember you telling me, yeah, I'm not eating a ton. I eat second half of the day. And you weren't moving very much either, like very, very minimal steps, because you were kind of in this gridlocked situation with your body, just kind of at war, like how much can I move before I've pushed too hard, too far? Can I do all of the things I need to do, right?
Yep. Yeah. When you told me we needed to do some steps, I was like, where am I going to get my steps? Because walking, I love it, but I also have to plan that route carefully. And even going to the gym, I got to know that there's a bathroom available and that I can get to it when I need to. So if there's only one bathroom, that will send me into a panic mode.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
You don't feel safe. Yeah. Because you don't feel safe. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, Steph, in going through all of that, all of those years of kind of doctor hopping or trying to find some help, what sort of lab testing did they run for you? Did anyone ever do a stool test to kind of look at what was going on? Maybe they did a colonoscopy. Yeah. Tell me more about that.
We did a bunch of colonoscopies in the beginning, mostly looking for polyps, I think ulcers, like that. It was always really healthy. And then I stopped. Like every new doctor wanted to do it again. I'm like, no, I'm at my max. and nothing had changed, so I didn't feel like there was a need. But and then I had a couple stool samples, but they were testing for specific things. Never did we do a stool sample that, like I did with you, that just looked at this huge picture that was full of data that showed exactly what was wrong. There was never anything like that.
Got it.
It was always like specific.
Looking for specific viruses, parasites, that those sorts of things?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Got it. Interesting. Yeah. So the lab test that we ran together was a GI map. Mm-hmm. And it is very comprehensive. It looks a lot more at the bigger picture of bacterial overgrowth, bacterial undergrowth, your secretory IgA, your gut lining, like the health of that, your immune system a little bit, what's going on there, so that you can start putting a lot of those pieces together. And I think what makes me so sad is that when we did that, it was very evident what your body needed. It was really clear that, you know, if you were to go get antibiotics, it was going to make everything worse because the undergrowth of all of the healthy bacteria in your body was so starkly apparent, and your gut lining needing some support, maybe dealing with a little bit of leaky gut, and healing that needed to be the process. And in order to heal that, part of what we did was change up your nutrition, right?
Yes.
That was such a big thing. And yes, we do use supplements, absolutely, because it just shortens the time frame from when we can get you feeling better. Nutrition can do all of those things over time. I genuinely believe that, but we didn't have much time. You're a busy mom, and we wanted to use some heftier tools. So tell us a little bit about the nutritional changes that we made specifically for you, and maybe how you were nervous about them in the beginning, a little resistant. Tell us more.
Well, we focused a lot on vegetables, which I quickly was like, oh, this is a trigger. This is hard for my body to process. But it was really helpful to have you in my corner and just say, okay, let's try specific vegetables that are easier to digest. We really, like, I need to eat vegetables. We all do. So we need to get to this point. And
there's those low FODMAPs, those low oxalates for you. That's where they fit in for a second.
Which is good to know where they fit in and how to start off. And it was really hard. I'm not going to lie to anybody. It was hard, but it was so worth it because I'm not totally healed, obviously, but I can eat some vegetables and not have cramping and bloat and gas and things like that. And that's a huge win. It was definitely hard, but worth it. And, you know, just having somebody else there to be like, okay, it's going to be okay. It will get easier. Cause sometimes I don't know. For me personally, when I get stuck in the trenches, it's like, is it ever going to get better? Like, you know, you can't see that. Whereas you have worked with clients and you've seen them push through and see the end result. So that was helpful.
Well, after 27 years, it's hard. It's really hard.
It's hard to be your own cheerleader.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. So we did. We got you eating more vegetables, more fruit. We got you eating more calories, to be honest. Yes. We increased calories because I think what a lot of women don't realize is that when we are trying to heal, the goal is not calorie restriction by any means. It's nutrient overload for a second. Yeah. So we definitely brought calories up a bit and got you eating earlier in the day, which I know that was sticky for a while. Yeah,
it was nervous, but I remember how consistently being able to eat breakfast in the morning and go out and do life and how big of a change that was, and how my husband was like, wow, this, I've got my wife back, you know, being able to go out and eat on a date. Like, I used to take my food home all the time. Like, I would eat. And so he'd be eating by himself. It was very weird and awkward, but be able to go out on a date, eat, enjoy the meal together, and walk out with no anxiety, no issues. It was huge. And I remember my husband saying, everything we've spent was worth this right here.
Oh my gosh, Steph, I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that piece. That just makes me so happy and so sad at the same time. I'm so pleased to hear that, because everyone deserves to go on a date with their husband to go out to eat from time to time. Oh man. Well, that's a huge win. So getting you eating more consistently, but also focusing on small meals to not overwhelm your gut was something that we did every few hours. We did that for some glucose regulation as well, right?
Yep.
And what did you start noticing? Because we didn't pull you off of your Imodium right away, right? Like that was something that you were like probably white knuckling and gripping onto for safety's sake. Yep. And that makes complete sense. So we phased that down over time. But tell us about how that transition went a little bit for you.
That, I think if I remember correctly, that started happening during the gut flush, where we would kind of help, because I think I had an overgrowth of the bad bacteria and nothing of the good. And so we did that, cycling of high carb, low carb to kind of kill what needed to be killed and repopulate what needed to be repopulated. And that's when I started noticing the changes in my gut a lot. And I dropped from 3 to 4 Imodium, and now I'm down to 1. And since we last spoke, I'm not taking 1 every day because I'm noticing I don't need it. Ugh. And it's crazy. I have recently gone back to my general practitioner and talked to her about what we've done and to talk about prescriptions and things like that. And I'm like, I don't need that one as much. And she was just so happy. And so was my husband. Like, it's just, it was a really huge win. This works.
Yeah.
I can get healed.
You can. And you know what? I love talking to clients about this because yes, I get to help facilitate that. But you said very transparently that this was not easy, that this was hard, and you put in all of the work. I showed you what to do, and then you did it. And that is the hardest part. That is the hardest part, for sure. So you should be so incredibly proud of probably the character that's built along the way as well, because this is not for the faint of heart, but it is more root cause healing. And I love hearing you talk about your husband. When I was struggling through some of the darker moments of my health journey, I think the person it impacted the very most, aside from my kids, obviously, was my husband. He almost hurt as much as I did. And I was, in hindsight, I'm really grateful for that and for his empathy, but I could see just how it impacted our marriage and our relationship. Would you agree that it's been a similar experience? Yeah,
absolutely. I remember leaving to go on a date. The two of us, we were going to do it was before kids. We were going to do like a day date, and 20 minutes into it, I was like, I can't, my stomach is in knots. I'm nervous. And we had to turn around. We spent the day at home, and that was a really low point, but it was my life. And he was a trooper, thankfully, but, we're both really enjoying the freedom that I have now to go and do these things as a family.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Was there anything that really surprised you about how we went about making changes? I mean, it's after 27 years going from this nervousness, horrible IBS, needing the bathroom like many, many times in a day, mm-hmm. to now like taking medication only here and there and feeling a lot more secure. What was surprising to you? Or what did you learn most? I know this is a hard question.
It is hard.
From what we worked on.
I think the fact that it was very methodical, and as we dug into each of my goals and how much the gut was playing a role, because we did a hormone test as well, and that was off, obviously, because our hormones are done in the gut, and just how, like, you can't just cure one specific thing, even if it was the pelvic floor UTI or the diarrhea from my gut and whatnot. Like, it was affecting everything. And so we just went step by step and looked at all the different things that my body had kind of covered up for the last, 27 years, and how we needed to fix everything. And if you fix one, you can't just fix one. You got to fix it all, because I remember I think we did the hormone test first.
We did.
And if we didn't fix the gut, that wasn't going to stay fixed.
Right.
And I just didn't realize that. The medical system teaches you just fix this particular thing and you'll be fine, and not realizing how much else it affects.
Right. That all of our systems are communicating and in relationship with one another is really important to not overlook, for sure. You came in to this programming with very specific goals. And obviously I changed your mind on some of those because I was determined to see if we could help you. But tell us what those initial goals were when you first came in.
The initial goal was the pelvic floor. And then we talked about, I wanted to lose weight. Losing weight had been really difficult. And then I was also concerned about diabetes, because it just runs in my family. And I knew that there's a really good chance of me getting that too. And that was a big focus for me. I, in the beginning, wasn't totally sure how my gut would get fixed in this.
You didn't believe me. It's okay. You can say
that. I didn't. And anyone else out there that's been to like doctors and doctors, you just start to lose hope. But if anyone can hear this and is in the same position, just if that changes anybody's mind to get help and give somebody else one more chance, is to do that.
Yeah, 100%. And truly, I feel really strongly that, even if that's not with me and my business, that's okay. There are many out there like mine, and there is help. And I think that's the important message that needs to be spread for a lot of people like you, like me, who years and years of dysfunction and struggle, you start to become very distrusting. You start to lose a lot of faith and hope. And that's a hard place to be. That's a really hard place.
Yeah.
Okay. So, this is an investment, not only financially, obviously, but time-wise. You're a mom. Like, being a mom while investing in yourself is really hard. And Stephanie, like, you homeschool and you do mom life, like, for real. Like, you go hard in the mom life. So tell us a little bit about maybe some of the setbacks that you faced, and what you did to be able to continue forward, because I know that as moms, we're kind of the mind that we need to be pretty self-sacrificing and everybody's needs come before our own. But when our health gets to this place where, like, you're kind of forced to take care of it, otherwise we're not taking great care of anyone else.
Yeah.
We have to make changes, but that doesn't mean it's not hard. So what setbacks did you face?
Time was a big one. I do homeschool. We do a co-op, and I had responsibilities there. And during co-op season, it was really hard. And I appreciated that you sat down and had the hard conversations with me. You're like, you have to find the time. I knew that if I'm not healthy, I can't take care of other people, but I still was always putting myself in the back burner. But we had to sit down and have a family meeting and get my kids on board. Okay, help help out with chores and whatnot. Mom needs to get these things accomplished every single day. And then my husband also helped out a lot because we were investing in this and he wanted it to be a time where I could take care of myself. So he made a point, and oftentimes that was getting my steps in at, 9 o'clock at night in the winter. And we went on a walk, and it ended up becoming a special time for us. Just him and I, the baby slept, the kids were doing their chores. And, but the biggest hurdle was making the time for myself and getting those things done. Cause it takes time. It's not a lot. It's less than I thought it would be.
It takes a lot of intention though.
Yeah. And you have to, especially with the meals and the planning, that I needed to make sure that I had that. So we, Sundays became meal prep day for the week. And that also helped my husband with his health goals and stuff. And you just, at the end of the day, you have to draw a line in the sand and say, I'm going to do this. And it's a daily battle because it's so easy to just not.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And to decide that you're worth it, that your health is worth using some of your family's resources and energy for. And that I found to be incredibly challenging for me personally, just the guilt of spending money on myself or taking time for myself, kind of getting over that mindset of I'm being selfish and seeing it as I am giving back to my family when I can play with them and I have the energy and I feel really good, right?
Yes. Yeah. Not having to take naps every day. Then I can use that time to do my little 20-minute workout or something.
Yeah.
And then, working around, like I have a baby and then I have a 15-year-old and a 10-year-old. So when the baby was down for a nap, you get in your exercise or your steps or you go on a family walk and you just, getting your family involved too was a big help.
Yeah. Like
they need exercise too. We can all go for a walk.
We all need the same things for, our quality of life to be elevated. So it is good when you can kind of rope everybody into what you're doing.
Yeah. And water challenges, especially come summertime. My kids obviously not drinking as much as I am, but okay, we're all going to get our water in today.
Yep. Exactly. Well, we can, kind of wrap this up, but I just would love you to, if you can, you kind of talked about the goals coming in that you had and wondering if you just might emphasize some of your greatest victories and wins. Obviously, we already mentioned you're still in process. We all are still in process. And that is good because that is health. It is a lifelong process. But I'd love to hear some of those and love for you to share those greatest victories and wins of being part of all of this.
I think the biggest one was the date with my husband. That was really special for us together. And oddly enough, that first set of pictures where I looked at myself and was like, I don't like this. And you and I talked about it. And so I saw myself through your eyes at the end of the conversation and I felt so much better. And I talked to my husband about it and he's like, I see this too. So that was a big win. I was like, okay, this is, my posture was better. I had, some lines going on that I should, like stomach lines and stuff. That was a big one. And then just coming down off the Imodium was huge. I never thought I would be able to say this. And it makes me emotional every time.
Yeah.
Because I know that I'll get off Imodium. It's just a matter of time.
That belief is back.
And yes.
Hope has been restored.
Yeah. And I think that's a huge part that sets you guys apart from the other doctors is you were there to believe for me when I couldn't believe. And you don't get that from doctors. And that was really valuable.
Hopefully some doctors, right? I think there are great doctors. The insurance companies seem to really navigate so much of what happens within healthcare. And I think that's where the problems really do stem from. Yeah.
Yeah.
You put in so much work, and Stephanie's been actually taking a little bit of a break right now, focusing on maintenance in her plan to keep all of the results that she worked really, really hard to get, but to kind of shift attention elsewhere. And Steph, if you're okay, I'd love to just kind of wrap up by talking about that for a second, because you initially, early on in the conversation, mentioned that what we do is very comprehensive, and we are focusing not just on your gut, we're focusing on lifestyle and all of the systems put together. And one of those systems is your nervous system. And you talked mm-hmm. a lot about stress through our time together today and how that really impacted your gut and would make things worse. It would exacerbate all of your symptoms. And it's something that you and I have talked about since day one, is your nervous system health and the patterns that it was maybe stuck in. And so Steph has been taking a little bit of a break, focusing her attention on getting some really deep help in that regard. Can you tell us just a little bit about your experience maybe with me and working, like when you started noticing this was a problem? I'm laughing because I remember a conversation between the two of us where I said, Stephanie, what you've experienced is pretty traumatic for a yeah. lot of years, not being able to go out for a walk and feeling really, really stressed and imprisoned in a way. Mm-hmm. That's really traumatic. And I remember you saying, is it? Is it though? And my jaw fell to the floor because I was like, oh my gosh, if anybody had to live their life like that for that long and couldn't go like participate in the world. Yes. Yes. That is isolating and devastating. And it's going to really hurt your nervous system, your mental health, all of those things. What are your thoughts on this?
It was really hard to see myself as someone who experienced trauma. In that regard, I think maybe I had lived that way so long that it's just, okay, this is normal, which it's not. But, yeah, I finally did see the light and realize this was not healthy. And I've been focusing on the mental part of it because there is a reaction whenever I feel just a slight twinge in the stomach, which could be absolutely nothing. And I immediately panic. And I knew I had gotten to that point where we had done as much as we could right now. And I needed to fix this part because it was just going to undo everything else. And that it is also just as hard to fix because you have to think about, you're changing the way you think, the way you react, and it's its own journey, but it's a huge piece of the puzzle.
Oh yeah, it is. It is a huge piece to the puzzle. And we often tell clients you really can't heal in the same environment that made you sick. And sometimes that environment is our own mind and the way that we perceive things and process things, the way that we constantly don't feel safe in the world or in our body. And I know people have a weird thing about using the word trauma too loosely. I am over it. I feel like we don't need to compare apples to oranges. You don't have to be a war veteran to really struggle with what's traumatic in your life and your lived experience. And we've got a lot of psychologists that are talking about that right now in the field. And that's really, really important. So I'm really glad that you took that to heart. And Stephanie and I had that conversation where before she decided to kind of put this on pause for a minute, keep up with maintenance work, keep up with her supplement plan, all of those things, we had come to the conclusion that this was the next right step for her, that she definitely needed to invest there. And it is the heavy lifting. Like, you're going to think nutrition was easy. probably. That's been my experience. Is, you know, like you said, diving deep into changing the way that you think and the way that you process is so, so, so important. But it's how every piece of your hard work is going to be long lasting for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was surprised how it was affecting other things like my glucose and things like that too.
Yeah.
Like, it is a piece of the puzzle that you have to address.
Yeah. Well, Stephanie, you accomplished so much. I mean, we left very few stones unturned. We did work on your blood glucose. You did lose weight. You've worked really hard on digestion and gut health. We worked on your hormones. We worked on mindset and nervous system. Mm-hmm. We worked on your sleep patterns, your nutrition, we worked on so many things. So in hindsight, I mean, do you feel pretty proud of yourself? Yeah. You should. Yeah.
In the amount of time we spent, we looked at everything and there's just been so much turnaround and so much progress made. And it has been really sweet to look back and look how far I've come. It's hard when you're in the trenches sometimes to see the progress.
Oh yeah. It's hard when you're the one digging the tunnel to see how far you've gone.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But there was a lot of progress there. Yeah.
So much. And stepping outside of traditional healthcare for support can be a nerve-wracking step for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's not something covered within the realm of insurance right now, but it sounds like you feel it was worthwhile.
Absolutely. 100%. I wish we could have done it so many years ago.
I know.
Stop waiting.
100%. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story and your experience. I just am so proud. I'm so proud of you that bringing clients onto my podcast is just a way that I get to put you face forward to the world and be like, look what she did. Look what she did. She's incredible. So hats off to you. I've seen what you've walked through. It's been amazing. It's been amazing. So thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you. I'm so thankful I found you and we worked through it together and got me here and I'm looking forward to the future too.
100%. All right.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Fourth Trimester Training Podcast. If you're ready to take your journey to the next level with personalized support, we offer one-on-one coaching tailored to your unique needs. Whether it's functional health, nutrition, or postpartum corrective exercise, we're here to guide you every step of the way. Connect with me on Instagram at Lynn C. Newman or at Fourth Trimester Training to learn more and schedule your free consultation. Let's work together to achieve your goals and embrace the strongest version of you.